Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast, everybody. I'm Steve Capo. I'm your host. We're here with Santi.
Hello.
Again, I love his Robert Redford haircut. I mean, you look like Robert Redford. You do.
Who's that guy?
You don't know who Robert Redford is.
I mean, I might know his face, wow, but I'm not old.
Robert Redford is basically the first Brad Pitt, so to speak. So he used to be like, you know, you ever see Butch Cassidy as Sundance Kid?
Yeah.
You know Paul Newman?
I know faces. I'm not really the greatest.
And Robert Redford's a super handsome guy. Okay. You know, his heyday was 60s, 70s, and 80s, right? He did all these great movies, All the President's Men, and, you know, it was just super cool, right? So super handsome, super cool, all that stuff. But he had a haircut that was kind of like, it was kind of like a part that way a little bit. And it's very, you know.
I need a trim.
It reminds me of Robert Redford. Looks good.
You need to trim the sides.
You want to trim the sides?
Yeah.
And what made you, because Santi was discussing having a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah.
What made you not do it?
A buzz cut? I wanted more, I guess, variety.
Something to move around and play with.
Something more flowy, you know. Buzz cuts just it's, you know, it'd be nice, though, because then you don't have to maintain it. You just, it is what it is.
Yeah. So how is your summer going so far? I'm curious to see on the employee side. Some more free time, right? Not as busy as schedule, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you find yourself...
The only thing that I don't like so far is that on my days off, it's been raining a lot the past 2 or 3 weeks, so I can't go camping. You know, you can, but, you know, then everything gets wet.
Can you surf in the rain, though? You can't do that either.
You can surf in the rain, yeah. That doesn't matter.
Why don't you surf those days?
If it thunderstorms, though, then the lifeguards kick you out, so... I had that happen once, and I sat there for an hour, and then.
So, being the summertime, you have a little bit more time. You're saying it's raining. Do you find yourself when you have more time overthinking, or do you find yourself happy to be able to just chill?
I think when we first started getting 2 days off again, I was more like, "What do I do?" I always had that feeling of, "Oh, I still have to go to work the next day." It took like a good month for it to kick in where I felt more relaxed, like, oh, I don't have to go to work the next day, because your mind is in the mode where, like, normally you have one day off, you wake up, you do whatever you want to do, and then the next day you have to go to work, you know, you come in for work.
Do you find yourself looking forward to work a little bit more that you have time off, or do you never want to work anyway? They can be honest.
If I was, like, you know, a millionaire or something, I'd try not to work every day, but I don't mind working. I like my Sundays.
Okay.
Even before... When it was longer, I liked my Sundays because it was it just like went straight through.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
It made me think of a question. You were talking about time off, breaks, weekends. Oh, they did an interesting study. Have you ever heard of Maui Nui Company? Mm-hmm. They make venison from, they control the deer population in Maui. It's a lot of problems in the islands with deer population. So they control, make this incredible.
I'm going to Maui.
What?
I'm going to Maui. In October. I have the wedding. Yeah, the wedding.
So he's got this incredible company.
Okay.
But what they do is they do a 7 days on, 7 days off. Very much like a fireman. So they work long shift, 7 days on, 7 days off. So at one point he offered them a time and a half situation. Listen, if you come in during your 7 days off, you'll get double or time and a half.
Okay.
Guess how many said yes?
All of them?
None.
Oh, none?
None of them. Because they value the time.
Okay.
Because with a 7 day on, 7 day off schedule, with 7 days off, you can actually do a whole different thing. They were starting little businesses and doing little things. So they ended up having two separate lives, which is quite interesting. They would start this and that, and they would do something small. And so... That's an extreme case where you can have 7 days on, 7 days off. But all I think is the value of time, right? I think time is the most important asset for everybody.
Right.
If you can give yourself more time, I'm sure that is the key. So that's what I was asking. So you got yourself programmed out of that time. But in that free time, do you find yourself... What a shot. Did you see that shot? She had an overhead right into the basket. It's incredible. I wish we could have seen it. It was incredible. Anyways, but... With that free time, do you find yourself being more productive? Or do you find yourself going, well, I got more time? Do you find yourself wasting more time because you think you have more time?
So
you're honest with yourself.
I feel like since I have more time, I tell myself, oh, I'll sleep in. But then I actually don't sleep in. Okay. I wake up naturally earlier. I'm like, oh, now I feel like I want to go out and do something. When before, when you have one day off, I felt like more I was like sleeping as much as I can. And then you wake up around like noon and then you have just like half a day left. And then you have to go to work the next day.
Okay.
So I felt like I would naturally, like, I would set an alarm for, like, 11-ish, but then I would wake up around, like, 9:30, mm-hmm. 10, naturally, and I would just be up. And I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to go out and do something, you know, something like that.
I think the problem with time sometimes with me is filling the vacuum. So you work all the way, you work all this time.
Yeah.
And then when you get the free time, you don't know what to replace it with. That's the problem with me sometimes.
Right.
Because I just love working. So that is almost both my vocation, my avocation. I love to work.
Yep.
So when you get free time for me, in the beginning, you're antsy. It's hard to figure out, well, you're just so programmed to work and do things.
Right.
So that's the hardest thing. I say if you get free time, give yourself a little bit of a schedule inside that free time to find something new to do because you'll end up just wasting the whole day.
Right.
You know that, but most people are lucky in that they have. And I told my son this: they have hobbies, they have things they're interested in. Like he loves to fish, and Maria loves to garden, and they love to do those things. And what I do is I just read business books, and I love that. It's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Should I have more hobbies? Something? Should I do more things?
I don't know. What is there something you always wanted to learn or do? I mean, I know you play the keys.
I used to play piano. I don't know. I don't think about it. When I have free time, that's not on my mind. On my mind is I think about, like, I read a book like this recently. I read this book called Influence, right? Very successful book. But it's mostly about marketing and how people make decisions. Like, I guess maybe it's a decision series, too. So I wrote the notes for Influence. We'll talk about it. But it's just about what makes people decide to do things. So if you are, I'll ask you a question. So if you are, this is like, I guess this podcast is about decision making. Like, we'll do two series. You did one last time, and we'll do this about it. What makes you, you know, if you're scrolling through something, whether it be on your phone, whether it be on TV, what makes you actually decide to choose to either purchase that product or to take up that thing or to say, yes, I'm going to do this? What is the biggest influence for you?
Probably, like, price. Entry price, you know, if it's an activity, how much does it cost? Or if it's like a new hobby, how much does the equipment cost? That's pretty much it.
So price for you?
Not really anything about danger or stuff like that. Like, so for example, one hobby that I always wanted to try or learn to do, I wanted to get certified in skydiving.
Okay.
So just, you know, diving by yourself. So that's like, you know, I don't really look at it as a risk of, okay, you might die. I look at it as like, oh, how much is it? $3,000, $5,000, $10,000? I don't know how much it is.
So you don't look at the risk of death?
No.
Okay.
But that's
what are the odds of dying?
I don't have a family. I don't really have any of that, so I don't really.
You do this every time. Every time I tell you to save money, I could be dead next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's the biggest thing is not the fear. It's just the price.
Right.
That's number one for you.
The price, and if you can balance it out, you know. Or, like, for example, even, like, if I think about, oh, maybe I'll take a trip. How much does it cost? How much is the car rental going to cost? Hotel?
Yeah.
Can I factor in? Is it worth it for X amount of days, et cetera?
Yeah. So, in that process of decision-making, we did put out a survey about what makes people like a clinic or not, which is interesting.
Right.
So, what was the biggest fact? Hey, handsome CJ is walking by. Look at how handsome he is. You should come into the camera, CJ. It's amazing. He's got his new uniform, too, all his new clothes. So the number one thing was quality of instruction, quality of the pro, quality of the drills. So people want quality.
Right.
At least in our server, they want the quality. Price was there, but it wasn't the major factor.
Right.
It was quality, really, and flexibility and facility. So it's quality, flexibility, facility. Those are the big keys for people making a decision here. So it's got to be good. You have to be flexible. And that's a big thing in this day and age. You know, things change so much in regards to business now. Years ago, you would sign up for 14 weeks because you had nothing else to do.
Right.
Because you didn't have a phone telling you all these different things that you could do and go somewhere.
Right.
You set a schedule, and that was it. How many different things could pull you in different spots?
Right.
So flexibility is key. So those are the three big decision-making things for people taking a clinic. But how do you influence those decisions? This is part of the book, right? So influencing those decisions, and these things are interesting, but they also have to be genuine.
Okay.
So the big seven topics in making a decision here and how to influence people's decisions, but it's got to be, again, genuine, is number one is scarcity.
Okay.
Scarcity would be like, oh, we only have four spots.
Right.
We only have three spots. And you can't be genuine. You can't be like, oh, we have one spot and it's available for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Social proof. Just saying, you know, like I told you, some of the restaurants, which are true, just say, hey, this is the most popular dish. And that becomes even more popular because people
right.
like social proof. So if you, like an influencer on Instagram, if they say, hey, this is the best thing and it's the highest selling thing I've ever used, people will generally use it because they want that social proof.
Right.
Urgency, if it's only available for a limited amount of time.
Okay.
Authority and expertise. If somebody is an authority on a subject, so like my perfect example is like Dr. Huberman, the neuroscientist. If he says something and he tries it, he's a neuroscientist, he studies it, he teaches at Stanford, you know, you're going to trust his judgment because
right.
he's got an incredible resume. Liking something. So if you like somebody, they generally like you back. Because if you say, listen, Santi, I think you're the greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
You're awesome. You're generally going to like me for that.
Right.
You're going to like that I gave you that compliment.
Right.
But it's got to be genuine, right? It can't
right.
be ungenuine. You can do the same thing. I could say, Santi, listen, your game is not really good right now. You got to work on it. You could like me for that.
Because you appreciate the honesty.
Because I'm being genuine. So that's a way of being, you don't have to give someone a compliment to show that you like them.
Right.
And that's why you have to be honest with people on the court. You have to be honest with people in every walk of business, life, and tennis. Because if you bullshit them, they're not going to really like that. They're not going to feel like
Correct.
You're genuine. So liking doesn't mean just giving an empty compliment. It means giving real, caring critique. And that's the biggest thing you have to do out there with anything. If you, tennis, life, on the court, if you don't give honest criticism, we're talking, so we're going through all these different realms. Like, you have to have good. Biggest factor is liking a clinic is quality of the pro. If the quality of the pro, if they're not genuine, if they are not being clear with you or not being honest with you, people are going to see through that.
Right.
And one of the other big factors was they wanted a positive environment. So very fine line there, too. You can be positive and still be honest.
Right.
You can say, hey, you need to work on this, but we can do it. You can figure this out. You'll be able to do it. Right.
Right.
Positivity for positivity's sake is not great. You want positive energy, you want all those things, but you can't have what they don't want. They just don't want negativity. They don't want somebody just cutting on you all the time, right? No, who wants that?
Right.
These are all microcosms of life. So that's the liking part. Other part is commitment. You make a commitment to them, they'll make a commitment to you. And consistency is the same way. If you tell them that you have value and you can do this and you can be able to play, they're going to try to live up to those expectations. And if you're consistent in that teaching. So that's just a little, everybody should read the Influence book. It's interesting. It's not similar. If you read Robert Greene's book, The 48 Laws of Power, that could go the other way, which is really interesting. But you could say, oh boy, you could become a sociopath doing this. Like, never let anybody know how you feel. Make sure that you're not giving away too much information, all of those things. That's an interesting book in regards to competition. Fascinating book.
Okay.
You should read it. Just about like...
So you're like putting the cards in your hands always.
Correct. And you're always trying to figure out, again, how you need to manipulate the situation and how it works. The 48 Laws of Power, like simple things like never make the boss feel too insecure. Right? So if you're his second in command and you make him feel like an idiot, he's going to fire you. You always want to make the boss feel like a king, right? And that way you can do your job well, right? Yeah. Especially, usually the bosses are insecure, right? So those kind of things. Like he takes moments of history of 300 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, where like the second in command made the king feel insecure and then they killed him. You know, all those things.
Right.
So hopefully that helps people understand their decision making. And why don't you just write a list of those six or seven things and understand what affects you or not. And if you want to not be influenced, look at those seven things and go, I think it's seven. It's probably nine. We ran through a lot of them. Look at those and go, all right, how am I being affected by this in the wrong way? And you can understand that too. But if you want to help people make a decision and make it for the good, you've got to be straight with them. You've got to be honest with them. You've got to be able to make a commitment with them and be consistent in that commitment. Because if you can't just say, hey, we're gonna solve this problem and then not be around.
Right.
You've got to be dedicated on the court to say, hey, we're going to make this forehand better, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make it better. It's not good right now, so I'm being honest. And that creates a bond. And then when you go through something like that, that creates unity, and it's a bond together. We worked on this together. All of those things are key. So you're trying to create that consistency, that commitment, that unity. It's very big. It's very big when helping somebody make a decision to go through all of this effort. So that was really kind of what was on my mind, Santi. So how do you feel? Do you think you're influenced by those scarcity things? Do you see something on there? Do you get fooled by that crap?
If it's real.
So if somebody told you like, hey, Santi, you want this piece of camera equipment.
Right.
There's really only one left. I can get it for you. And there really was only one left, and he took care of you. Yeah. That's the balance of having a person you can trust.
Yeah.
I mean, do you generally believe ads when they say there's only seven left?
Kind of, sometimes. Like, for example, yesterday, there's, like, a sale on Tennis Warehouse, and, you know, we always need new shoes. So I was looking at the shoes, and I'm particular to certain brands and certain, like, amount of stability. You know, there's, like, different levels of tennis shoes, court shoes, that, like, more stable, less stable, depending what you're doing. And I found one, and I was like, oh, okay, do they have the size?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? You know, that was, like, a decision-making thing I had to do where, you know, they advertised it, and then I was like, I was intrigued. And then they had, like, a Prince racket, 95 square inches, and that's what I like.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I don't need a racket. I already have so many rackets. But it was, you know, it was like, do I need it? Do I want it? I want it, but do I need it? No. You know, so is it a waste? But it was only $79. So that's pretty good, you know.
Price, scarcity.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So it does work. I mean, it's not, again, if it's real, it's not bullshit, right?
Also on Amazon, they have Amazon Prime Days, right? I saw yesterday they had, like, Apple Watch Series 8, whatever.
Okay.
And it tells you how much percentage are left. So you can buy it within the 4 hours.
Okay.
And it'll say, okay, when I looked at it, it said, oh, 61% have claimed already. So that means once they get to a certain number,
cool.
You can't, I guess, get the same deal as everyone. So that's something they try to visually influence.
So they actually tell you how many people have bought it,
they give you a percentage.
Yeah, percentage.
Not like a number.
Not the number, but the percentage of people. It's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting way to look at it. In this book, it reminded me, it's for some reason reminded me of what you were saying. They're talking about reciprocity also. In other words, gift giving or something like that. They said at the end, I don't know why, this is an interesting thing. When you go to the restaurant, you get the bill. If they give you one mint, your tip is this. If they give you two mints, the tip goes up. If you get two mints, like, after in the bill, the tip goes up like 5 or 6%. Just by giving someone a mint.
Oh.
Isn't that pretty funny?
That's interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
Meaning a solo diner or a double?
It could be any. Like, there's two people, I guess. I don't know. But it's funny how when you, I guess, just like life, when you give, people give back, right?
Yeah.
So, but again, everything's got to be genuine. Like, it's really hard if you are not genuine. You have to be genuine in what you're doing because it's naturally going to happen, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Decisions are always hard to make. People are influencing those all the time. And what I should do, and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, but I should mention who wrote the book. And I always do this, and I don't mention who wrote the book, so let me find it. Let me find it, Santi. Let's see. Influence. Where is it? Of course, it said influencer. I always do too fast. Influence. Okay. Okay. There it is. It's Robert Cialdini. What is that? Cialdini?
Something.
Okay. So that's it. Robert B. Cialdini. I probably pronounced it wrong. Cialdini. PhD. So check out the book. But I know you'll be surfing and going camping. But everybody, so we're in the middle of summer too anyway. So summertime, it's like June. What is it?
July
12th. July 12th. It means how fast it goes. We have 6 weeks left, right?
What did you do on 4th of July, Steve? Firework? Well, it was raining, but
what did I do on the 4th of July?
Barbecue.
I told you I went to Asbury Park.
Oh, you went to Asbury?
Yeah, nice. I went to dinner at Iron Whale or Iron, what is it?
Something.
Iron Bar?
Oh, okay.
Iron Bar? Oh my God. You ever been to Asbury?
I go there often,
it was
but
good.
I don't know.
It was a great restaurant.
Go to Porta.
Okay.
What?
Porta in Asbury.
Oh, the Italian place?
The pizza place.
I was looking at both of them. I was like, boy, this looks good too. Is it good?
But they also have it in Jersey City and Montclair.
Was Porta good? Do you recommend
it?
You're a pizza guy?
Yeah, it's a good pizza.
So we'll go there next time because I was going to go. I said to go there. We want to go close to the water.
That's just off the water a little bit.
But it's nice. I mean, Asbury Park, they fixed up really nice. Asbury Park, when I was a kid, it was like a demilitarized zone. There was nothing there.
Oh, okay.
It was just empty. It was underdeveloped, nothing. It was just a stone pony. You'd go there and watch a concert, and that was it.
Yeah. But there's that huge, like, hotel apartment-looking thing. You saw it, right?
Oh, that's Esperanza. That was years ago. They used to be called the Esperanza.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole story of a developer in Summit, and it didn't work out. Went bankrupt. The whole thing, he wanted to get at it. It was a whole large thing about that.
Oh, okay.
That's when it started all the redevelopment.
Right.
And they were supposed to build, I think, more units like that on the beach, and it didn't work out.
Right.
But inland, it's beautiful. They've developed all that area. There's a lot of nice apartments inland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're just discussing geography and real estate. But everybody, good luck in your decision-making. Hopefully you make a decision to challenge yourself and test yourself. You know? That's the biggest thing. I think we can do that every day, challenge ourselves, test ourselves. Make a harder decision once in a while. You'll be thankful for it. Thanks, everybody.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves. Share it.